Blog Talk Radio. Oh, my mic was off. I am sorry. I'll go over this again. The deaths today were Aaron Burr, third Vice President of the United States, who had a duel with Alexander Hamilton, killed Hamilton. Burr tried to lop off part of the United States, and he fled. Jeb Stuart, a Confederate general, famous cavalry general, was born today. Babe Ruth was born today. He died of cancer. Władysław Gomułka, one of the last dictators of Poland, was born today. Edward Lansdale, the ugly American, he was the model for that counterintelligence insurgency expert in Southeast Asia. Ronald Reagan was born today. A lot of people don't know this, but Reagan had his degree in economics. He went to Eureka College in Tampico, Illinois. I think that's south central Illinois. Rip Torn, the actor, was born today. Tom Brokaw, the newscaster and author, and his daughter, I think, is a doctor here in San Francisco. Bob Marley, who was famous for his ganja and creating reggae music. Among the deaths today, the son of Charles I. Charles I lost his head, but his son Charles II died in bed. George VI died today of cancer. He was the father of the current Queen Elizabeth. And he was the Duke of York, the younger brother of Edward VIII, who became king upon the death of George V. But Edward was never crowned. And, of course, that messy affair he had with Wallace Simpson. But he loved her, and they died together. And George VI, like his father, George V, both had cancer. In fact, George V, the pain was so much that it was said that was a victim of mercy killing. So that's the allegation. And then one of the great authors, she wrote Guns of August. It's a very readable book, a great author. She knows how to write. Unfortunately, she died in 77. Barbara Tuchman. And then we have Guy Madison. After he died today. Among the events today, before Lincoln suggested blacks should go to set up Liberia, in 1820, a free black sailed from New York to Sierra Leone on the African coast, the West Coast. And my favorite war, 1904, the Russo-Japanese War started. And, of course, we have a connection to the U.S. Supreme Court, the habeas corpus, connected to that period. we have Teddy Roosevelt, who was a racist. He referred to the Japanese as those plucky little Japs. Also, didn't like the fact that the white nation, the white race, the Russians, were being butt kicked by the Japanese. The yellow race, he referred to the Japs as those plucky little Japs. And he brokered a peace treaty between the two and New Hampshire, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and the Nobel Peace Prize for that. First president to get a Nobel Peace Prize. And then we have the first poll people called was set up in Prescott, Arizona, which has become the retirement area for a lot of the March. Thank you.
We read in the papers every day, and they get us all excited over the one or a dozen different problems that's supposed to be before this country. There's not really but one problem before the whole country at this time. It's not the balancing of Mr. Mellon's budget. That's his worry. That ain't ours. And it's not the League of Nations that we read so much about. Or it's not the silver question. The only problem that confronts this country today is that at least 7 million people are out of work. That's our only problem. There is no other one before us at all. It's to see that every man that wants to, able to work, is allowed to find a place to go to work, and also to arrange some way of getting a more equal distribution of the wealth in country. Now, prohibition. We hear a lot about that. Well, that's nothing to compare to your neighbor's children that are hungry. It's food. It ain't drink that we're worried about today. Here a few years ago, we were so afraid that the poor people were liable to take a drink that now we've fixed so they can't even get something to eat. So here we are in a country with more wheat and more corn, more money in the bank, more cotton, more everything in the world. There's not a product that you can name that we haven't got more of it than any country ever had in the face of the earth. And yet we've got people starving. We'll hold the distinction of being the only nation in the history of the world that ever went to the poorhouse in an automobile. The potter's field are lined with granaries full of grain. Now, if there ain't something cockeyed in an arrangement like that, then this microphone here in front of me is, well, it's a cuspidor, that's all. Now, I think that perhaps they'll arrange it. I think some our big men will perhaps fix some way of fixing a different distribution of things. If they don't, they're certainly not big men and won't be with us long. That's one thing.
Now, that was Will Rogers, and he had a biting sense of humor on the social issues of the day during after the stock market crash and after and during the 1930s depression. Since it was Al Capone's birthday, and we'll put up the Al Capone cell, we happened to catch it. Play a few clips from that audio track of that movie when he met this newsman for the first time. The guy in the movie, I don't know why they changed his name, but it was Jake Lingle was the guy who worked for the Chicago Tribune, and he never wrote anything, but he always hung around gangsters like Al Capone.
Al Capone from Brooklyn.
Hi.
Mac Healy, the smartest reporter in Chicago.
Yeah, if I was really smart, I wouldn't be losing my shirt here.
Al was going to be my new
So, and then he later turns against Capone. And this is the fact. Capone had him killed in the Illinois Central Railroad station, which is like BART or any of the subway stations that you see in other cities like New York. And Jake Lingle is buried in Mount Carmel Cemetery. That he was Roman Catholic. And a lot of gangsters, including Al Capone, were buried there, as well as the major bishops and archbishops and cardinals of the Chicago Archdiocese. But here's this clip where in the movie Martin Balsam plays Keeley, but is actually the character is actually Jake Lingle.
He's vicious, but at least we know what we're up against. But you, Keeley, you wear a cloak of respectability. You and hundreds of other parasites just like you live off Capone. You get rich, you get power, and you're worse, you're more evil than he is, because without you and those others like you, that corrupt bunch of politicians downtown, Al Capone could never exist.
Captain, I'm just a newspaper man.
Don't call yourself a newspaper man in my office. Those two city editors the mob beat up over in Burnham and Cicero, they're newspaper men. They're still fighting Capone, but you're... messenger boy in history. I don't know about you, Keeley. The way you live, the expensive automobiles, the $35,000 you dropped at the track last year, and who paid for it? Capone, you're a disgrace to every decent newspaper man in the business. Get out of here, you.
Thank you for the kind words, Captain. Are you sure there's no answer?
Yeah. I'll give you an answer. You I can't touch. You're too slimy. But you tell Capone that one of these days we're going to get him. You deliver that message for me, messenger boy.
It's interesting we have media people like that. Today, who were involved with slimy politicians, and they did quite well. In fact, one of them got a low-income, affordable condo, and was involved in the Stephen Airey case. We'll get into that when we do our Video E magazine. Here's a clip, also audio clip, when Keeley, a.k.a. Jake Lingle, turns against Al Capone.
You and hundreds of other parasites just like you live off Capone. You get rich, you get power, and you're worse, you're more evil than he is, because without you and those others like you, that corrupt bunch of politicians downtown, Al Capone could never exist.
And that's true about...
Just a newspaper man.
Don't call yourself a newspaper man in my office. Those two city editors, the mob beat up over in Burnham and Cicero, they're newspaper men. They're still fighting Capone, but you're... You're nothing more than the highest-priced messenger boy in history. I don't want to bite you, Keeley. The way you live, the expensive automobiles, the $35,000 you dropped at the track last year, and who paid for it? Capone, you're a disgrace to every decent newspaper man in the business. Get out of here, you.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Captain. Are you sure there's no answer?
Yeah. I'll give you an answer. You I can't touch. You're too slimy. But you tell Capone that one of these days we're going to get him. You deliver that message for me, messenger boy.
We played a encore of that one. Sorry about that, folks. It wasn't intended. But we'll end with our favorite theme. Which is applicable to the political scene that's going on today. I'm still waiting for these guys to sit down and play a hand of poker, but I guess we're never going to get that. So here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
We'll be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is Peter Paul Brazola, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.